Between now and Thanksgiving time, the church will, week by week, lead us in a reading and a reflection on the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels. It's only 16 chapters long. St. Matthew's Gospel is twice as long. But not only is Mark's Gospel short in terms of its length, it's very short and tight in terms of its language. I like to refer to it as the dragnet gospel. You know, Jack Webb, Sergeant Friday, just the facts, madam, just the facts. Well, that's what Mark does for us. He gives us just the facts with very little elaboration. The gospel begins with an introduction, and the introduction is the first 15 verses of the gospel, and very quickly and succinctly it describes three events: the preaching of John the Baptizer in the desert, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, and the temptations of Jesus in the desert. Those three events are the introductory events. They set the stage. Beginning in verse 16 of chapter 1, beginning with today's gospel, Mark presents to us the public life of Jesus. John the Baptizer has been arrested and thrown in jail. Jesus comes into the region of Galilee. Galilee is in the northern part of the Holy Land. It's the lake country. It's what you and I as Minnesotans experience in going up north. It's the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. Almost all of the public life of Jesus takes place in the north, in Galilee. Only at the end of the story does Jesus come south to Jerusalem, where the suffering and the crucifixion and his burial and resurrection take place. But even on the day of the resurrection, when the disciples go to the tomb, the angel says to them, "He is not here, he is risen, he has gone ahead of you into Galilee." He's gone back up north. That's where you'll find him. So most of the stories, most of the teaching, most of the miracles of Jesus take place in the northern part of the country. This is also the place where the fishing industry is strongest, because there's water, there are lakes, there are sea. And so we find in the gospel all kinds of references to fishing, to the sea, to boats, to fish. It's a very important part of the life of those people in the northern part of Palestine. And so Jesus, as a good teacher, what he does is he uses what's immediately available, people's own points of reference, as he teaches them about the kingdom of God. And so fishing and fish play a large part around the imagery that is used. In fact, even into the first century of the Christian era, the symbol for the Christian was the fish. And it was the fish for a particular reason. The Greek word for fish is ichthus. It's got five letters in the word. And if you just take those five letters, what the early Christians said they meant was Jesus Christ, God, Son and Savior. Ichthus. So it became an act of faith. Jesus Christ, God, Son and Savior. Well, the gospel story today talks about Jesus calling some of those people who made their lives on the water to be his disciples. Peter and Andrew and James and John. And I would suggest to you that there is a motif that is present that can be seen to inform the teaching of the gospel. Now, I'm sure that most of you at one point or another have gone fishing. And what I'm going to suggest to you is what you do going fishing is a model of what you need to do being a disciple. The first thing that a good fisherman knows is that you got to go where the fish are. It doesn't do you any good to plunk down in a certain spot and expect them to come to you. You've got to go to where the fish are. And you've got to go at the time of the day when it's most likely that you're going to attract the attention of the fish. So a good disciple goes out and seeks. A good disciple respects the time and the place. A good disciple does not expect people to come to her or to him. But the good disciple goes out and actively searches. The second thing that a fisherman knows is that you've got to capture the attention of the fish. And that's done with bait and flies and spinners and all kinds of things. And what you use to catch the attention of the fish is what you've come to learn that this or that species of fish can really be attracted to. So again, you get to know the fish. You get to know what you do if you're fishing for bass or for crappies or for sunnies or for whatever. You know what you need in order to attract the attention of the fish. The good disciple knows that if he or she is going to speak about the kingdom of God to someone else, before that person opens their mouth, they have to know something about the person they're talking to. They have to have some understanding of where that person's coming from. The third thing the fisherman needs to know is that this is not speed dating. Fishing involves time and it involves patience. And you can sit there for hours waiting. If you don't have patience, you probably will not enjoy fishing. The disciple has to have patience. The disciple is not in charge. The disciple can speak an invitation, can invite, but needs to wait for the other person to respond. The fourth thing that the fisherman needs to do is to be conscious of the fact that there's a relationship between him or her and the fish, that there's a playing that goes on, that there is a kind of seduction that goes on. There is a drawing of the fish in. There is a, a, an activity that's going on between the person in the boat and the fish in the sea. And the disciple, too, knows that fundamentally the proclamation of the Word of God is a relational experience. It means being attentive to the other and responding to the other as is appropriate. And finally, the fisherman knows that once the fish is caught, one has to be very careful in bringing the fish in. You don't want to scare the fish. You don't want to create a situation where the fish is going to wiggle free. You want to slowly but nevertheless deliberately draw that fish in. And the same thing with the disciple. Once the person responds, there needs to be a gentleness and a care for that person. So that person is not overwhelmed, so that person is not frightened, so that there isn't too much that is laid on the shoulders of that person to scare them off. Well, I would suggest to you that in the imagery of the New Testament, in the imagery of fish and people who fish and water and sea and boat and all those kinds of things, there's a deliberate attempt on the part of the Lord to use those experiences as a vehicle for communicating the truth of the gospel, the truth of the kingdom of God, the truth of the divine mercy, the truth of the compassion, the truth of the desire that God has to be in union with the creature, and the truth that in Jesus Christ, that union is achieved. Well, this is the weekend when I invite you to consider your willingness to bring your energy into ministry in the liturgy of St. Matthew's. We need people who are willing to read the Word to us, people who are willing to feed us with the gift of the Eucharist, people who are willing to be greeters and hospitality ministers and welcome people at the door, people who are willing to lead music, to be cantors and song leaders, as well as people who are willing to sing in choirs to enhance the worship of all of us. We need people who are willing to serve, to assist at the altar servers. There are so many roles that we need in order to enter in and to fully celebrate the liturgy, the mystery of Christ in sacrament. And I want you to think about it. I'm casting out the line. And I will be patiently awaiting what happens. I want you to think about it. Is there some area of our worship to which you would like to offer your service? And then at the end of Mass, there will be a member of the liturgy committee who will be present here in front and would be very happy to meet with any of you, answer questions from any of you, and carry this further on.